Now, I know you've heard many messages over the years on the Great Commission. How many have heard a message at some time on the Great Commission? Everybody? At some time or another, which is probably expressed in its most concise form in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. I'm not going to speak on the Great Commission per se today, but I am going to talk about the fields. We have a responsive reading today taken from Matthew, Luke, John, and Corinthians, and it will be on the screen, I believe, and it's also on an insert, and the notes are on the reverse side of it. So let's stand together, shall we, in honor of God's Word. I'll read what's in the light print. I'll ask you to read what's in the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You are still working in the world today and that You are using people to do that. And You are assigning them to various fields all around the world. Lord, I pray that You will show us our field today, and I pray that we will be busy working in that field and bringing forth a harvest unto eternal life and unto Your eternal purposes. May we understand that our time here on this earth is not to be lived in selfishness for ourselves, but rather for the One who loved us, who died for us, who shed His blood for us, who rose again for us, who ascended back to You for us, and who is today seated at Your right hand for us, and who will one day very soon return for us to bring Him unto Himself. The harvest is almost in, and the need has never been greater. And so, Lord, today we pray that You will raise up workers to go into this harvest field, that the precious grain may not be lost. Thank You for all of those, such as the Zellners and many others, that You are using in far spread places around this globe in order to bring the good news of the gospel to those who have not heard. Now, Lord, take Your word and use it in our lives today, because that's what it's for. You have a work You want to do in our lives, and You will do that work through Your word. Bless now Your word to our hearts, we pray, and may we be able to put it into practice by Your grace. These things we ask humbly in Christ's most precious and holy name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. What Jesus did in His 3.5 ministries was basically just a training session. It was a 3.5-year training session for those disciples that He was then going to send out to evangelize the world. As we know, He accomplished redemption in its entirety, and on the cross He said, "It is finished," meaning it is completed in every detail, that it cannot be improved upon, it cannot be added to, it is done. And 40 days later, He left planet Earth, and He left those men in charge of spreading the word. As we said a few weeks ago, it was never His purpose to evangelize the world. It was only His purpose to do the work of redemption. But the job of evangelizing the world, He left to His followers. And today, that would be us. We are the fruit of those original followers that did what He said and who published the gospel first in Jerusalem and then in all the other places where they were scattered, and then through Turkey, which was Asia Minor at the time, and later to Europe, and then ultimately to here in the last couple hundred years, and then from here back to many other places around the world. But we are simply the products of those who have carried the word. And so the job goes on and on, because there is always a new generation coming up that has not heard the gospel, including in our own community, including in our own family, including in our own area here, and then also including around the world. And of course, it probably comes as no surprise to you that in other parts of the world, the population is growing a lot faster than it is in the United States. We in Europe like to limit the number of children that we have, but in a lot of places around the world, they have no such interest. And so they are just, the world population is indeed just exploding. And it's not a topic you hear a lot about global warming all of a sudden, but you don't hear a whole lot about the population explosion, which is about all anybody wanted to talk about when I was growing up. But if it was exploding then, I don't know what it's doing now. But we can increase by 1 billion people now in about one generation. And we are, I believe, the final or close to the final generation before all prophecy is fulfilled and Jesus comes back. And so the need has never been greater. And whatever Jesus said to his disciples, which we have read this morning, on a scale of 1 to 1,000 would be about maybe less than 1/1000th of what it is now in terms of the greatness of the need. And hence, the necessity to be spreading the gospel as consistently and as fully as we can. And we've also made the point in the last few weeks that the best way to spread the gospel is still person to person. Missionaries will never be replaced. Now, there has been a move in recent years for missionaries to go to get something going and then to train the nationals to multiply. And that is a good change, and that is the way it is supposed to work. But whether it be someone who goes overseas or whether it be nationals, the point is missionaries have got to go. How will they hear without a preacher, and how will they preach except they be sent? And so the basic need is still the same as it was in Jesus' day. But when Jesus looked out on the people, it said he was going to every town. It says he was going to every village. And he was teaching in their synagogues. And he was preaching the good news of the kingdom. And he was also healing every disease and sickness. But when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Something moved inside of him. Do you get moved? One thing that the youth have been dealing with recently, what would you do and keep doing even if you had all the money you already needed? And the other, what breaks your heart? Well, I'll tell you what broke Jesus' heart, and it was seeing the multitudes out there hurting and nobody to minister to them. He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to the disciples, why does he say it to them? Because they're the ones that are going to be charged with the job. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask, beg, plead with the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out, ekbalo, throw out, push out more workers into his harvest. But this was what broke the Lord's heart. Now, I want to make a few general observations here about the fields. We talk about the mission field. Isn't that interesting? We talk about they're on the field. They're home from the field. At least that was the jargon I was raised with. We were missionaries. On the field, off the field, whatever. The field is everywhere, actually. It's just a matter of which field we're in. Amen? There's a field. You're standing in a field. You're in a field. You're never out of a field. If you're standing at the 7-Eleven, you're in a field. If you're standing at the food line, you're in a field. You know, if you're standing in the unemployment line, you're in a field. You know, wherever you are, if you're at a baseball game, you're in a field. Number one, the fields are where the harvest is. That's number one on our notes. The field is where the harvest is. Jesus talked about the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers into his harvest. Well, where is he going to send them? He's going to send them into the field, because the field is where the harvest is. If you want to know where the harvest is, go find the field. And where you find the field, that's where you'll find the harvest. I used to love driving up through that rural part around Lancaster, Pennsylvania, because those Mennonite and Amish farmers up there do such a good job, you know, and it's just beautiful. But the fields. But why is a field planted in the beginning, in the first place? It's because you want to have a harvest. But the field is where the harvest is. So if you want to participate in the harvest, all you got to do is get in the middle of a field, and you will be where the harvest is. And wherever you are is a field, and there is a harvest there. And Jesus saw, that's the way he saw it, you know, that's how he saw it. This is a field, and it needs working, and it needs to be harvested. Number two, the harvest is the landowner's top priority. If you were a landowner and you had 300 acres of wheat, and I'm guessing that in the Middle West, that's probably just a little old tiny farm. I don't know if they have farms that size anymore. But let's say, you know, you have 300 acres of wheat, and you've plowed the field, and you've sown the field, and you've fertilized, and you've weeded, and you've debugged, and you've done all the stuff, and now it is only days from the harvest, and if the harvest isn't taken in the next 2 weeks, it'll all spoil, and it'll all go to waste. Do you believe that the harvest is that landowner's top priority? What would upset the landowner more, and what would make him sadder than seeing all that precious grain go to waste? And now we can understand the heart of Jesus, who's looking at the people, and the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. What a shame to have the harvest right there and then not have enough workers to bring it in. And that is why the workers are needed, because the fields around the world today, Jesus said in John chapter 4, he said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white to harvest. White to harvest means they're just at that point that if they're not brought in now, in just a few more days, it'll be too late. And the grain will be lost. If it was true in Jesus' day, think of what it is today with the world population growing like it is. The need has never been greater. But this is the Heavenly Father's top priority. While we're worrying about the economy and which way the nation's going to go and so many other things that we worry about, and the light bill and the next paycheck and the this and the that and the other and the other and the other, guess what the Lord's top priority is, and guess what He is worrying about? He's worrying about the next soul that's going to die and spend an eternity in hell because there wasn't anybody to share the good news of Jesus with them, because they were too busy worrying about the light bill and about a whole bunch of other stuff. And it breaks his heart. Number three, workers are needed because of the fields, not the other way around. You don't say, well, we've got a bunch of workers, so let's create some fields. That's not how that works. The fields are there, and therefore the workers are needed. Jesus tells a parable, vineyard, field, take your pick. He tells a story about the man who had the vineyard. He went out at 6 a.m. and he said, go work in my vineyard today. Then at 9 o'clock he went out again, go work in my vineyard today. And then at noon he went out again, go and work in my vineyard today. And again at 2 and 3 o'clock, and then again 1 hour before closing time. Oh, you don't have a job, go work in my vineyard today. And then when the time came to settle, he paid them all the same thing. So it's not too late to get in on the action. You may be past 40, it's not too late to get in on the action. You may be past 50. It's not too late to get in on the action. I told you a few weeks ago, there are a lot of people now that are doing a second career after their primary career, and they're making themselves useful somewhere for the Lord. So don't think that, oh, well, I'm retired now, you know, whatever. Yeah, you're retired, but you're still the Lord's property. Amen? And if He says, hey, you can be of use, the talents I've blessed you with, given you, you can use them in Japan, or you can use them in South America, or you can use them somewhere in Europe or Africa for me. Wouldn't you want to do that? And believe me, there are fields waiting. There are fields waiting. Oh, you want to work? Oh, yeah. Let's look at the list. Oh, yeah. It's not like there's a shortage of fields. But the workers exist because of the fields and not the other way around. And the reason you are here today and that I'm here today is because there are fields that need to be worked, and the Lord has raised us up to be those workers to work in those fields. Now, He may start you off in the nursery. He may start you off in the beginner department of the Sunday school or the junior department of the Sunday school or the senior highs or somewhere else. And then he may use you in Awana and He may use you. But do you think in a lot of cases, especially if you're younger, that that's the only thing He's ever going to want you to do? Or is He training you so that you can do a little bit more? And then doesn't it make sense that if there are 20 of us, that at least two or three or four or five of us would wind up being assigned to a field somewhere outside of the United States? It's gotten mighty quiet. But I'm just talking the facts. You say, well, what's the difference? I hear these people, oh, well, we have needs right here at home. Yes, we do, and we always will. Do you want to know what the difference is between the need right here and the need in one of these places where they've never heard the gospel? How far, if you are walking through South Norfolk, let me ask you something. If you are walking through South Norfolk, how far can you walk without passing a church? And if you want a Bible, and you don't have a Bible, and you don't even know where you can get a Bible, how far do you have to travel before you can find some store that'll sell you a Bible? Do you understand? You beginning to catch on? That's the difference between, yeah, we have needs right here. Yeah, we have needs right here. But let me tell you something. The gospel is at the fingertips. You can Google anything right now and find it. The gospel is available in the United States of America, but it is not available in a lot of these other places. And so, there are fields out there. Yes, there's a field here, and I'm not saying neglect the field here. Believe me, we're not neglecting the field here. The ratio of us who are engaged in the field here to those who are tending the fields where the bigger need is, believe me, the ratio is way out of proportion. But workers are needed because of the fields, not the other way around. You want to know about fields? Call World Team. You want to know about fields? Call New Tribes Mission. Anybody heard of them? That's who Daryl and Kyla Palmer are with. Tim and Joanne Palmer. Arlen and Melody Tiggs. It's who Brian and Brooke Johnson hope to be going to the Philippines with sometime the middle of next year, and on and on and on. Or you want to know? Come to me. I'll hook you up with some people. Number four. The field is the place of specifically assigned work or endeavor. And then let's go ahead and do five because they're hooked together. The owner of the fields, which, of course, in this case would be the Lord, assigns the workers according to His will and purpose. So that's right. He's not going to send us all overseas. You can breathe a sigh of relief now. But He's going to assign you according to your ability and how He's trained you and how He's prepared you. Now, when the call first comes, you may say, oh, me, no. Do you believe those people that have been over there working all those years, did they know the language already when the Lord first called them? Did they know how to live on a shoestring budget when the Lord first called them? Did they have enough faith, even with the family, to go out not knowing if they would be adequately provided for financially? Did they know the answers to all of that when the Lord first called them? I don't think so. But that doesn't mean that the Lord isn't going to call us, and it doesn't mean, but availability. Lord, I'm available. How many of you, and don't raise any hands here, have said, Lord, I'm available wherever you want to send me. I'm available. Have you ever said that to the Lord? That's just elementary stuff. Number six. Some workers work the same field for life. Others are moved from field to field. It's not the same with all of us. Now, I have a bunch of scriptures there from Acts, and they all mention James. Not James, John's brother, but James, the half-brother of the Lord, who was in Jerusalem, and who once Peter got where he wanted to travel more, became bishop of the church in Jerusalem. And so you start out reading about James in chapter 12. You find him in a position of authority by chapter 15. And then pretty late in the game in chapter 21, he is still the head of the church in Jerusalem. And my guess is that James, he might have traveled a little bit here and there, but James was, you know, he was pretty much a sign. But what about the Apostle Paul, who we've been talking about? The Lord was moving him from field to field, sometimes after just a few weeks, other times after just a few months, and almost always after no more than 24 months, because his job was to start churches in various places. So we just have to know what our calling is, but there's a place for us to serve. I can guarantee you that. Number seven. Workers are rewarded for their labors. Behold, I come quickly, Jesus says in Revelation, and my reward is with me to give to each one according to his deeds. That responsive reading we read there in 1 Corinthians 3, 5-9, the man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose. When you're planting and watering, aren't you in a field usually? Unless you have one of those little things hanging out on the front porch. And each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Now, we're not talking about earning salvation here. Salvation's free. Salvation's a free gift paid for by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What we're talking about is the Lord is going to reward people for what they did. I mean, you can't beat it. I'm having so much fun serving the Lord, I can hardly stand it. And I'm going to get rewarded too. Does that sound like a good deal? That's a wonderful deal. But I think we serve out of love and debt and not really so much for the reward. What do you think? Number eight. The fields are already there. It's the additional workers that are needed. The fields are everywhere. It's the workers that are needed. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest that he will send more laborers into his harvest. And I want to close with this. Jesus had just spoken to that Samaritan woman at the well. It was midday, it was hot, nobody was out there. She was out there because she was kind of not, you know, well-liked maybe in some quarters. So she was out there. He asked her for some water. She brings up a couple controversial points of doctrine. He answers those for her. She says, well, yeah, I would like this free water you've got for me. He said, go get your husband. Well, I don't have one. Yeah, you're right, you don't have one. You've had five, and the man you're with now isn't your husband. But in a little bit, she left that water pot, and she went into town and was telling everybody, come out and see a man. Meanwhile, the disciples have gone to get lunch, and they bring, here, Lord, have some. He says, I already had lunch. They said, what? How could that have happened? Somebody bring him something while we were gone? He says, no, you don't understand. My food is to do the will of my Father that sent me and to finish his work. And that's when he said, lift up your eyes from your sandwich long enough to look at the fields. And you say it's 4 months, but I say it's right now. The fields are already white to harvest. Lift up your eyes and look or behold the fields. I looked up that Greek word for look there, theaomai. It's not just your regular word for look or see. It's more like when one of us says to somebody, hey, take a look at this. And when they look, they're looking with intent. They're looking with purpose. They're looking on purpose. It means to look at closely. It means to contemplate. It means to view attentively. And he said, in the NIV, it says, open your eyes and look at the fields. But the actual literal word for word is, lift up the eyes of you and look really closely at the fields that they are already white to harvest. And I just want to close with two statements. Until you really get a heart for the fields, until you really begin to get a burden for the fields, until you really begin to see the fields, you will never have a heart for missions. Because it's the field. Once you begin to see the field, it's the field that will begin to move you the way that it moved the Lord. The reason we don't have more conviction about this is because we've got our noses buried in everything but the fields. And so we can be content because we're oblivious. We don't really understand the field. Oh, we know there's some fields out there, but that's somebody else's concern. Somebody else will take care of them. But Jesus says, lift up your eyes. That means look away from your little... Do you ever get frustrated? No wonder we get frustrated. We're micromanaging everything in the world in our lives. We're worried about every little old thing that we can't do anything about. Have I stopped preaching yet and gone to meddling? And so, our eyes aren't really on the fields. How can we have a punctured heart when we're not even looking at the fields? But your master says, lift up your eyes and see the fields that they are getting ready to go to waste. And the reason they're getting ready to go to waste is because of a shortage of workers. So ask the Lord, do you think the Lord is going to have to, we're going to have to do some arm twisting to get the Lord to send some workers into his harvest? I think that's more about us than it is about him, folks. Because once I start asking him, maybe then he'll have my attention. But if you can't go to the field, you at least need to be looking at the field because that's what the Lord's looking at. And if you can't go to the field, you at least need to be praying for the field. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
You at least need to be praying for the field. And if you can't go to the field, maybe you at least need to be praying for some of those people that are in the field, that the Lord will protect them and keep them and provide for them. Or maybe the Lord has blessed you in some way and you've got something material that you can share with them that will enable them to continue doing what they're doing. But the point is, we'll never have a heart. You don't have to go to the field to have a heart for missions. You can have a heart for missions right here. But just as long as you've got your eyes on the field, you know about the field, you care about the field, as the Lord cares about the field, and at a bare minimum, you're praying for the field. But it's the field. And if we're not looking at the fields, we'll never really be attentive to whether the Lord wants us to personally be involved. So I want to encourage you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. That field may be in your own school. That field may be in your own household. That field may be, indeed, in your own community or in your own church. And if that's it, but just make sure you're looking at the field and then make sure you're working in that field for the Lord and that you're not standing by idly. How many believe that time is of the essence? Do you believe that? I mean, I see history moving at an ever faster rate. I don't know. Maybe it's my age, but I don't think so. I am getting older, but I don't think that's why it seems that things are moving faster. I think things are moving faster. And I don't believe we have all that much longer to work for the Lord. But if there's ever been a time, it's now. And it's not too late. But lift up your eyes and look at those fields. And then ask the Lord to send workers into those fields. And if you're consistently asking Him to send workers into those fields, that doesn't automatically mean He's going to send you, but it does mean He'll have your ear if that time comes when He says, yes, and I think I would like to send you too. All you need is the willingness. He'll provide the grace. Shall we pray? Father, we look at the fields and our hearts are broken. And sometimes we could feel that the little difference we could make is so small that maybe it doesn't matter anyway, but that's not true. You don't expect us to do what we can't do. You only expect us to do what we can do. One little boy brought his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus fed 5,000 with it. So, Lord, help us to look at the fields. Show us the fields, whether they're in our own backyard or whether they are halfway around the world. But show us the fields, because the fields are white to harvest today. We're going to hear about that. We're going to hear about that from Dan and Donna next week, right there in Guatemala. And Lord, move us to do something about it. Jesus was moved to compassion, but He did something about it. He went to the towns. He went to the villages. He prayed with the people. He shared Your word with the people. That's what You want us to be doing, even if it is just in our school or in our place of work or wherever You've placed us. But Lord, You want us busy in Your work. Help us to hear Your call and then to answer, Lord, I'll go. Prepare our hearts to obey. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I just want to ask you this morning, be asking the Lord, Lord, what is my field? If you're going to ask, if you don't already know, this week, if you're going to ask the Lord anything, besides just praying for the fields, say, Lord, what is my field? And then get involved.